Aqui uma nova Dalef. Towards the bottom of the Omer, the third last line, the second last word. Va'omer Rabo Bar Ruchano. Ki hava ozlinon basrei. When I, says Rabbi Bachano, when I was walking basrei, after, behind, basrei de Rabbi Yechanan, behind Rabbi Yechanan, I noticed the following. Ki hava boi, when he wanted lemeal to enter lebeis hakisei, I noticed the following. Ki have a nokit, when he was holding in his hand safra da agadata, if he was merely holding in his hand a sefer, a book, then have a yohiv lom. Then he gave it to us. He said, please do me a favor, hold this sefer whilst I enter the Beis HaKiseh. But ki have a nokit tefillin, when he was holding tefillin, lo have a yoev lom, and he didn't give it to us. Sounds strange. I would have thought the opposite should be true, that he should be more concerned with bringing tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh than he would be with regard to bringing a sefer. Yet the contrary seems to be true, that he gave the sefer to those waiting outside. But with regard to the tefillin, he did not give it to us. And he actually took the tefillin inside. How could that be? Omar, so he said, Hoyil v'sharunu rabbonon. He said, since the rabbonon specifically said that it's muta, sharunu means they permitted it, right? We've had a whole sugya. And remember, we had the one stage that maybe you should leave it in the window on the outside. Then we were concerned that people will take it. Maybe leave it on the inside. We're worried that vermin, rodents will get to it. And Maskona was, fine. So therefore, you're actually allowed to take it and hold it in your hand as long as it's covered inside your hand. So Chazal specifically spoke about tefillin and they permitted it. So why would I need to outsmart Chazal? If Chazal said it's mutter, then it's mutter. Says the Gemara, again, on the bottom line, Omar, hoyil v'sharunhu rabbonon. Seeing as the rabbonon permitted it, turning over the page, nanatron. Nanatron, notar, is to the word guard. They will guard me. I don't want to give up my tefillin. Tefillin always protect a person. Except you cannot be over an Issa. If it would be Issa to take the tefillin into the bathroom, then it wouldn't have been allowed to do so. But Chazal specifically said you're allowed to take the tefillin in. They didn't say that you must take them in. They said you're allowed to. Well, once they gave me the green light saying that you can bring them in, then I dafka do want to bring them in because they'll guard me. Look at Rashi, the previous page at the bottom. Omar, Hoyel, Vesharuna, Rabbonon, the Rabbonon's permitted. What do they permit? Not to wear them, but La'oichzon biyodoi. They permitted a person to hold them in your hand. Mishum, Shmiroson, in order to guard them. Remember, we were worried. Don't leave them on the outside, they'll be stolen. Don't leave them on the inside, they'll be infected, they'll be taken by animals. So for the purpose of guarding the tefillin, Chazal said that you can hold them in your hands. So they gave me that green light. Says Rashi, in top Rashi, once they gave me the green light, Nanatron, says Rashi, Yishmaruni, then they will guard me. Very important, Hashkofa. Who's guarding who over here? I'm holding the tefillin in order to protect them. But if I do so, then the tefillin protect me. Yishmaruni. What does that mean? Comma. Achnisem. I will enter. I will bring them in. Imi together with me. the Yishmaruni min hamazikin, and they will guard me from any damage, from anything that could possibly chas v'shalom injure me or damage me in any way. So therefore, whilst holding a sefer, there's no great big necessity to bring the sefer into the bathroom. So you might as well ask somebody else to hold it for you. But with regard to tefillin, I always want to have my tefillin with me, even if I'm not wearing them, but I'm holding them, that itself will protect me. I wouldn't, however, have been allowed to have done it if Chazal wouldn't have permitted, but they did permit. So once they exercise, once they said that it's permitted, I would like to exercise that heter, and I'm going to be particular not to let go of my tefillin. I want the tefillin to look after me. And now we see the exact same story once again, just with different people in the story. Omar Rava says, Rava, ki hava ozlinon basrei de Rav Nachman. He said, yes, I saw the same. When I was walking behind Rav Nachman, I noticed that ki hava nokit safra da gadata. When he was holding a sefer, Yohivlon, he gave it to us when he wanted to enter the Beis Akise. But ki hava nokit tfilin. But when, however, he was holding tefillin, loy yohiv lon, he did not give it to us, and he had the exact same reasoning. Omar, and he said, hoyel v'sharunu rabbonon, comma, seeing as the rabbonon permitted it, nanatron, I want to look after them so that they will look after me. So there's no mitzvah, there's no chiv. You're not obligated to take your tefillin into the bathroom. You can, in theory, definitely ask this person on the outside, please look after them for me. But these Amoraim said, no, in as much as I'm looking after the tefillin, to be perfectly honest, the tefillin are actually looking after me. And therefore, I want to keep holding them the whole time. Even though he's not wearing them, he's holding them in his hand. Okay. Now, really, everything we've learned till now, we can put a big line over here. This is end of part one. We have been discussing at great length bringing tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh. And the upshot of our discussion is you can bring them in. You've got to be holding them in your hand. They should not be sticking out. Remember we said, if you've got no more time to be mekayem the mitzvah of tefillin, then you should wear them. But you should put a box over the tefillin, and we discuss whether it has to be a tefach or not a tefach. All of that was a discussion on Amud Aleph. Now comes the other side of the coin. We have not yet discussed, is there an issa to relieve oneself whilst wearing tefillin? Whilst wearing tefillin. And of course, as we saw on Amud Aleph, whenever we talk about a subject like this, we always have to differentiate between a person who wants to relieve himself gedolim as opposed to ketanim. So let's have a look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara on the fourth line, very important sugya. Tanu rabbonon. Loi yoichaz odom tfilin beyodle. A person, generally, this is nothing to do with the Beis HaKiseh. A person should not be holding his tefillin in his hand, or the sefer Torah b'zroyoy, or a sefer Torah in his arm, the yispalel, whilst trying to daven. Very important halacha this. Whilst one is davening, one should not be holding anything in one hand, except obviously for a siddur, because that will help you concentrate. Why is there an issa to hold something in your hand? So look at Rashi on the top line. Lo yoichas b'yodei v'yispala. Why? She'ein daitoi miyusheves olav b'tfila. Because his das will not be miyushev, will not be settled. His das will not be settled. He will not have a settled mind. The number one rule of tefillah is that a person has to have yeshiva das. If you would make a list of how many halachas there are in davening to facilitate kavana, you'd be amazed. I remember I once heard a shir from a Rav, a Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim, and he was making a crusade, and good for him, about people who have phones that ring in the middle of davening. It's the most painful phenomenon in recent history, I believe, in shuls. It's hard to get through a tefillah sometimes without somebody's phone ringing. And it's extremely disturbing, not only for other people, but for the person themselves. So even if a person will put their phone on vibrate mode, so it doesn't actually disturb anybody else in davening, but it would disturb him. The person davening, when he's in the middle of davening, and suddenly feels this thing vibrating in his pocket. So this Rav said that I have many makoros that it says in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch that this is awesome. Now he said, that might sound strange. There is no Sif in Shulchan Aruch that talks about a cell phone. But he pointed out quite rightly, look how many examples there are in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara where it is forbidden to do anything during davening if it's going to take away your concentration. We are now learning a classic example. If you're busy holding, you're not wearing, you're busy holding a Sefer Torah, or you're busy holding a tefillin whilst davening, that's very hard to concentrate. Because you're so nervous that chas v'shalom, you might drop it or knock it, that you won't be able to concentrate fully on your davening. So this Rav rightly pointed out, if that's the case, the same is true with your phone. Imagine you're davening and suddenly the phone rings. So as long as you don't look at the screen, very difficult to concentrate. You're busy thinking to yourself, oh, I wonder who it can be. Must be my wife. No, probably not. Maybe somebody else. Why is it not somebody else? And in fact, as you rightly pointed out, even if it hasn't yet begun vibrating, but the fact that it could do so also takes away from your concentration. I wonder if somebody's going to call. Any minute a phone call could come through. Therefore, that is obviously no better than holding a Sefer Torah in your hand. And therefore, switch it off. Or put it on silent mode where it doesn't even vibrate. I was yesterday, I must say, in a shir. The phone went off three times in the middle of the shir. I was in a shul last week, and also three times in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, people's phones went off. And the worst is that people take it out of the book and they just look at the screen without actually turning it on. It's a terrible, terrible phenomenon nowadays. So have a look at Rashi again, top Rashi. She'ein daitoim yusheves olov. If he's busy holding, whether it be the tefillin or the Sefer Torah, his das is not miyushev. And he's breaking, therefore, the number one golden rule of davening. You have to have yishuv hadas. Why, once he's holding the tefillin and the Sefer Torah, does he not have yishuv hadas? Says Rashi, Sheharei, because Liboy, his heart, Tomid Alehen, is constantly on them. His heart, he's paying his attention to the Sefer Torah, to the Tefillin. Why? Sheloy Yiplu Miyodoy, so that it should not fall from his hand. He's so nervous that he might drop it, that he's concentrating on them and not on the tefillah. By the way, this poses a very, very practical shaila. A practical shaila. What's the halacha? Imagine a young mother's davening at home and she's trying to daven peacefully and all of a sudden the two-year-old baby, toddler, starts tugging at her dress and starts yelling and screaming. And you know that the only thing that will stop the child crying is if you gather the child into your arms and hold the child whilst you daven. Is that mutter or is that osa? So we've just learned you're not supposed to be holding anything during davening. But the answer is, obviously, in that case, it's mutter. Because the whole reason why you mustn't carry something in your hand is because it takes away your attention. Here, it's true, it's not ideal, but it's far better that way than having a screaming baby whilst you're trying to daven. So this doesn't detract from your attention. It actually assists your attention and would therefore be mutter.
Aren't there two other factors? Number one, that if the child gets really upset, it's a sakana for him.
Yeah, could be.
And number two, that a woman doesn't have the same chiyuv in tefillah that a man does.
Also true. Yeah, 100%. All of those are factors, 100%. There could also be, by the way, another issue, not exactly the same inyan, but it's related to what we have just learned. If there's a baby suddenly wandering within your daladamas and there's an unpleasant odor, then you have other issues of davening there. So one has to be aware of that. Okay, back to our subject. So the Gemara is telling us a brisa that whilst davening, this is not really our subject, but we'll soon see, we're going to bring it back to our subject. Whilst davening, you should not be holding a tefillin, a sefer Torah, because you're busy paying attention to them. You're too nervous that it might fall. You're not paying attention to your davening. You're actually paying attention to what you're holding. Says the brisa, veloy yashtin bohen mayim. So this is back to our subject. Whilst wearing tefillin, you should not relieve, one should not relieve themselves, mayim, which is what we call ketanim. Okay, final halacha, veloy yishan bohem, neither should he sleep whilst wearing his tefillin. Now those of you who are with us from Masechta Sukkah might well remember, this is actually mentioned in Sukkah, that whenever we talk about sleeping, there are two types of sleeping. There's Shenas Keva and Shenas Arai. Shenas Keva is a proper sleep. Shenas Arai means he's just nodding off a little bit. Says the Braiser, one should not sleep whilst wearing tefillin. Loi Shenas Keva, veloi Shenas Arai. Either one is also why. Says Rashi, look at the second line, Shema Yofiach. We've already discussed this. That what? That whilst wearing tefillin, one has to be Shomer Aguf Noki. And one can only be Shomer Aguf Noki if one is awake, conscious, alert. But if you're busy nodding off, or Kol Shekein, if it's a Shenas Kavua, then you're not in charge, you're not in control of any of your bodily functions. Therefore, we're not worried that somebody will be relieving himself whilst davening, but we are worried that Shema Yofiach, there'll be an unpleasant odor being emitted from the goof, which is not covered for the tefillin, and therefore we should not sleep wearing his tefillin. Now, Omar Shmuel. Shmuel commented on this braisa and he said, Sakin umo'ois v'ka'ora v'kikor hare'elu ki'yotze bohen. Whether it be a knife or money or a bowl or a loaf of bread, all of those will be exactly the same hare'elu ki'yotze bohen. Those would have exact same halacha, just like one should not hold a tefillin, one also should not hold, or sefer Torah, also one should not hold any of these items, a knife, money, a bowl, or a loaf of bread. Why not? Says Rashi, on the second wide line, Hari Elu Ki Yotze Bohem Le'inyan Tefillah. With regard to tefillah, we said you must not be holding a tefillin or a sefer Torah, so too you must not be holding these items. Shedoyeg aleihem, because he is worried about them. Shaloi tipol. Now, what exactly is Shmuel adding? What's Shmuel being mechadish that we didn't already know? And the answer is, why are you allowed to daven holding, for argument's sake, a pencil in your hand? And the answer is yes, you are. Why are you allowed to daven holding a pencil in your hand? Because if the pencil is in your hand, you are not concerned. It doesn't really bother you if it drops. It's not an expensive item. It's not a davar kodesh. It can't inflict damage. So if worst comes to worst, it drops, it's not the end of the world. That will not take away your yishuv hadas on tefillah. So what is the example that we've had so far that does take away your yishuv hadas? A sefer Torah or tefillin, Why does that take away your yeshiva das? Because a person is terribly nervous if he'll be so consumed, so taken up by his tefillah that the Sefer Torah or tefillin will chas v'shalom slip out of his hand. So of course he's nervous because nobody in the world chas v'shalom wants to drop a tefillin or drop a Sefer Torah. Dropping a pencil, that doesn't concern him so much. But dropping a Sefer Torah, dropping a Sefer Torah or tefillin, of course that does concern him. So what's Shmuel now adding to the list? That even if it is not a Dovar Kodosh, but there could be other items where a person is nervous that they might fall, not for Kedusha reasons, but rather for practical reasons. What are those examples? Says Rashi, one by one. Shelai Tipoil, he's worried that they should not fall. Hasakin, why is he worried that he might drop the knife? Because Vatazikenu. What does that mean, Vatazikenu, from the word mazik? It might damage him, right? If you're holding a huge carving knife, you don't really want to, by accident, drop that. It might land on your legs or on your feet and commit damage. Therefore, there it is the practical consideration. It is not the halachic consideration, but nonetheless, it brings you to the same result, which is what? That it takes away your attention, your yeshiva das, and therefore should not be held. V'haka'ora, if you've got a bowl, and what's inside the bowl? Obviously some food. So imagine holding a bowl with hot chicken soup whilst you're trying to daven. You wouldn't really want to let that bowl slip. Why, says Rashi, one word? Because v'haka'ora tishofech, it might spill. You don't want spilt soup. V'hamo'ois, money, that's not because of the damage it can cause, but because of the financial loss. Ye'ovdu, the money will get lost, right? If you're holding 1,000 shekel in your hand while davening, then you're nervous that 1,000 shekel might just drift out of your hand and get lost. So it's not a halachic kedusha consideration, it's a financial consideration. And finally, v'hakikor yitonif, the loaf of bread can get dirty. So if, for argument's sake, you are holding in your hand, like we said before, a pencil, or imagine you are holding in your hand a bag, and inside the bag it had a piece of bread, well, then you might not be nervous. Because worse comes to worse, it drops, but it's not going to get dirty because it's in a bag. But if you're holding a kikkor loaf of bread, presumably that means not in a bag or in a case, so you're very worried. If that drops on the floor, it'll become spoiled. So that's what Shmuel is adding. Don't make the mistake of thinking that it's only when there are halachic considerations, like I say, for Torah and Tefillin, that's when your Yishuv Hadas will be detracted. No, even if you're nervous for practical reasons, the knife, because it'll inflict damage on you, the bowl of soup, because it will spill, the money, because it will get lost, the bread, because it will become spoiled, whatever it is, it's the same halacha. It will take away your Yishuv Hadas. And if it does that, you will not be able to daven properly, and therefore it is absolutely awesome.
Can I come back to the issue with respect to sleeping? Just for a second. Don't we have an halacha that says that if somebody falls asleep in the middle of davening, wearing his tefillin, that you're not allowed to wake him up?
So we'll see. We'll see this halacha in Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
If there's halacha, it's important to check it out. We will check it out in the session.
Okay.
Now, a health and hazard warning. The upcoming Gemara is rather complicated. So if you had a look at it and you didn't quite crack it, don't be too concerned. It's rather complicated. We have just said, amongst this list, loy yashtin bohen mayim. One may not relieve oneself for mayim, for ketanim, whilst wearing the tefillin. Now, let's not forget on Omad Aleph, we had a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. If you remember on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, Beis Shammai said that you should not bring your tefillin in to the Beis HaKisei. And Beis Hillel says you should bring them in whilst holding them in your hand. Beis Shammai was not happy with that, and to the contrary, Beis Shammai said you should leave it in the window. Now, what was their discussion? Was their discussion bringing tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, or was their discussion relieving oneself whilst wearing tefillin? It was very clearly the former. The issue at hand in Amud Aleph, l'choira, Gemara seems to make that jump over here, but l'choira, we would have said that the discussion on Amud Aleph revolved around one thing and one thing only, and that was, are you allowed to bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKisei? According to Beis Shammai, no. According to Beis Hillel, yes. So if I were to ask you a question, we've just said in our braisa that loy yashtin bohen mayim, that you're not allowed to relieve yourself whilst wearing tefillin. If I were to ask you, does that contradict anything that Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai said? So at first glance, what would we have said? It doesn't contradict at all. They were never discussing this at all. They were discussing something else completely. And what was that? Can you bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKisei? But not, is it mutter to relieve oneself whilst wearing tefillin? So I would have said that the Gemara on Amud Aleph has no connection whatsoever to the Gemara on this. Here comes the surprise. Says the Gemara on the last narrow line, Omar Rav Sheshes, Les Hilchasa, Kiha Masnisa. The halacha does not follow what we just learned in the Braisa. The Braisa is not la halacha. Do you know why? The Beis Shammai hi, comma. Because it is clearly authored by Beis Shammai, and as we well know, Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel, the halacha always follows Beis Hillel. So if I can just prove to you that this Braisa must have been authored by Beis Shammai, then clearly the inescapable conclusion will be that the halacha, therefore, does not follow this Braisa. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what's happening. This Braisa is authored by Beis Shammai. Why? Who told you? Says the Gemara, very simple proof. De'i Beis Hillel. Because if the author of the Braisa was Beis Hillel, then I don't understand. Hashta Beis HaKisei Kavua Shari. Comma, Beis HaBai, Beis HaKisei, Arai, Miboya, question mark. When we talk about your Mayim, which is Ketanim, that by definition, and Rashi points it out over here as well, is not a Beis HaKisei Kavua. One does not need to go to a Beis HaKisei Kavua about a Beis HaKisei Arai. Now, one second. If you were to ask Beis Hillel, are you allowed to enter a Beis HaKisei holding your tefillin? And the answer is unequivocally, yes, you are. Even Beis HaKisei Kavua. So I don't understand. If Beis Hillel allows you to enter the Beis HaKisei even kavua with your tefillin. So kol shekin, all the more so if we're dealing with lahashtin mayim, which is by definition not a beis hakisei kavua. It's only a beis hakisei arayim. Then kol shekin it should be muta, according to Beis Hillel. So why is the Braisa saying it's awesome? So this proves to us that the Braisa does not follow the other Braisa. Now, when everybody sees this Gemara, you fall off your chair. Hillel, as mentioned, oneself about whether you're allowed to enter the Beis Hakisei. You're allowed to enter the Beis Hakisei. So why is that a contradiction to our Braisa? What does our Braisa say? You're not allowed to be mashtin mayim. Let's say mayim is a Beis Hakisei. All right, so be it. You're not allowed to be mashtin mayim whilst wearing your tefillin. Where did Beis Hillel ever say anything that contradicts that? All they said is you're allowed to enter the Beis HaKisei holding the tefillin in your hand. But if you'd ask Beis Hillel, are you allowed to relieve yourself whilst wearing the tefillin? He never spoke about it. So why is the Gemara telling you that our Braisa must be following the opinion of Beis Shammai because it does not fit in with Beis Hillel? Who says? So here comes Rabbi Yisai, the $64 million question. On Omad Aleph, again, we had a big discussion on Omad Aleph. Are you allowed to enter the Beis HaKisei whilst wearing tefillin? And Beis Shammai says, absolutely not. And Beis Hillel says, absolutely yes, you can bring them in at least whilst holding them. Not wearing them, but whilst holding them. One second. What does he do with his tefillin after he enters the Beis HaKisei? Presumably, he entered the Beis HaKisei because he wants to relieve himself. So what does he do with the tefillin then? Beis Hillel didn't discuss that. So are we going to automatically assume that what? That if Beis Hillel allowed you to enter the Beis HaKisei holding the tefillin in your hand, then clearly the next step is obvious. So too, you're allowed to be mashed in also whilst holding the tefillin in your hand. So it's true that Beis Hillel didn't actually specify that and specifically state that, but that must be. Otherwise, what Beis Hillel left you in the lurch. You're allowed to enter the Beis HaKisei holding your tefillin. Okay, thank you very much. Now what do I do with them? So maybe that's what the Gemara means. You see that the Beis Hillel allows even a Beis HaKisei to at least be holding the tefillin, if not wearing them, in order to be excused. So why is our Gemara saying you're not allowed to do so, even a Hashtin Mayim? If Beis Hillel allowed it in the Beis HaKisei Kavua, meaning even for Tzoya, L'chayra Kol Shekein, it should be Mutter for L'Hashtin Mayim. And if yet the Braisa does not say that, the Braisa says you're not allowed to be mashed in Mayim, so I have no other choice but to conclude this cannot be authored by Beis Hillel. It must therefore, by process of elimination, be authored by Beis Shammai. And if it's following Beis Shammai, then it can't be the halacha. That l'choira seems to be what the Gemara is saying. Okay, we'll have to hold it over here. Then we could do with a couple of days break anyway. This Gemara coming up is a little bit complicated. Ms. Shem will take it up again on Sunday next week in Ms. Hashem.
Oh, good shot.